What was I going to say?
What were you going to say?
Don't you people live next to Valley Girls there in L.A.?
Russell does.
Yeah, you
do. I had a song in Valley Girls.
Oh, my God.
No. All right, so, a statement of purpose.
Wait. First of all, who's going to be the DJ for the evening?
We'll work it out, man.
It's a group show.
Me.
It's a variety show.
I need a board op, right? Is that your concern?
No. Tell them what we're
going to
do.
Kind of.
Statement of purpose.
The full history of rock and roll will be heard tonight on WCDB FM 90.9. It's open game. There will be a world premiere of at least one, possibly two cuts from the brand new Strokes record, courtesy of Craig Marks. World premiere. It's wide open, completely wide open. And now... Eli, we need your help here. Use it. 90.9 FM, WCDB, Elvis Costello and the Attractions. And Party Girl from Armed Forces. We heard, I just don't know what to do with myself from the White Stripes. Do anything you want to do. The Russ Rieger National Anthem from Eddie and the Hot Rods. And we started with I Fought the Law from The Clash. Great to be back.
Absolutely great to be back.
Jim Diamond here with Jack Isquith and Rob Edelstein.
Andrew at the controls. We are world premiering the brand new album from The Strokes. And boys, take it away. World premiere, WCDB. Pure New York punk rock and roll.
Who are you?
From Boston. Who are we? We're going to talk about that. It's WCDB 90.9 FM. Pablo Picasso, The Modern Lovers, although they were from Boston, not New York. Before that, from New York City, Television and Venus from the first record, Marquee Moon. And we started off with a world premiere from New York City's golden punk rock band of the moment, The Strokes. The new album is Room on Fire, and we heard The End Has No End. I'm Jack Isquith. I'm 40 years old, and you can hear it every second out there. And I'm here with Jim Diamond. Who else? Who's here?
My name is Craig Marks from 1983 graduate.
1983,
class.
Craig Marks.
Robert Edelstein, 82 graduate.
Dermot Quinn, what year did I graduate? I was supposed to graduate in 82, but I didn't make it. No, I was supposed to graduate in 82. I didn't get out until 83.
83?
Because I had to do the college.
We've got a couple of 89s here.
Does anybody remember the actual first moment on the radio?
I was petrified.
How did you get on the radio, Jack?
Russ Rieger sort of marshaled me along, and I think he forced you to put me on an overnight. Yeah. You said, like, this guy should train, he needs to go to the old WSUA studio, et cetera, et cetera. And Russ was, nope, this guy's absolutely great, he's going to be the next music director, just put him on the overnight.
You were the next music director.
I mean, you were right.
Well, how about you, Dermot? Do you remember your first show ever?
I actually don't remember the moment of going on the radio. I remember more going in there in the Jimmy studio and learning in the AM.
I can tell you how it happened with me. It was a pure accident. What happened was I was training with a guy named Neil Siegel, who was the music director before me. And he was a big Todd Rundgren fan. And I was training with him in that little studio. And then he asked me to come and sit in on his shows. And I would sit on his shows for a couple of weeks. And back then, there was a very strange woman named the Who Lady. Does anyone remember the Who Lady?
The Who Lady.
By the way, if you're out there, call us. The number is
518-442-4242.
Yeah,
Miss
Who Lady.
Wait. Let's do that one more time. Phone number is 518-442-4242. I am us, for those of you well under 40, at WCDB Filler. WCDB FILLER.
So here's what happened.
That we're filler?
So here's what happened.
No.
So the Who Lady would call, and she was actually a psychiatric patient, and she had visions of several of the DJs on the air were the personification of her ex-husband who was deceased. And she would call the station and ask to talk to the DJs, thinking that it was her deceased husband. So she called to talk to Siegel, thinking that it was her deceased husband. He came in this very room, this studio, to take a call from her, and he never came back. And I was sitting in the studio, his trainee, and I'm like, you know, like, the song's over, what do I do next? So I just kept playing music, you know, and he never came back. So finally, I just went on the air, and I never got off.
The story of the Who Lady, as told by James Diamond. Well, anyone else want to pony up? Return to the music. How about some brand new music? The band is called The Rapture. Craig, anything you want to tell us about them?
They're a spunky little Williamsburg band produced by these super producers of the indie scene called DFA. And this is their debut album on Warner Music, Warner Brothers, I think. And this is their hit from last year on their album called House of Jealous Lovers.
All right, The Rapture, WCDB, 90.9 FM. WCDB Albany. We love to fly, and it shows.
All right, are we on? Andrew,
all
thank
right.
you.
All right.
All right.
Joshua, you're up. What did we just play?
90.9 FM, WCDB Albany. How's everybody doing tonight?
All right.
Hey.
Outstanding.
Yeah, let's talk about what we heard in that set. By the way, I am here to represent the class of 89. 89 was...
You young punk.
Yeah, 89 was a pretty cool time, and I want to shout out to all my buddies, like Bill McCann, who's still on the radio after how many years?
19
years on the radio. Incredible run up here in the Capital District and an institution in Albany. And my buddy Kevin Byrne, who, you know, used to play all these records with me. And, you know, I pulled all kinds of stuff. We got the Bats. We got American Music Club. We got, you know, all kinds of stuff from that era, from the 89, the Verlaines. And anybody who might have been listening during that time period knows that we really had it going on, and we used to love to play all that Homestead stuff and all the indie rock records. Yeah. So,
what was that we just heard, Josh?
What did we just hear? We heard Big Dipper. No, we're going to hear Big Dipper.
No, you just heard it. You just heard it.
Oh, yeah. I thought I was going to spoil
senior
the
moment.
Surprise.
Senior moment.
Yeah. But before that, we heard the B-52s from their first album, 52 Girls, and we heard Prince in there with from the Dirty Mind album, Uptown. And The Rapture, new music from The Rapture.
That's right. House of Jealous Lovers.
They like that. The kids in the
booth.
The
kids are digging that.
The kids like it. The engineer kids.
So now, what was the story with Big Dipper and WCDB?
Okay, well, you know, we had our little pet bands that used to come through, and we used to put them up. Big Dipper stayed in my house a couple of times, and there was something about this song, Younger Bums, that spoke to us in a strange way. You know, when you hear the lyrics, the younger bums likely outlive us. You know, there was something about it. It was something very Albany about this song. And they played a QE2 a whole bunch of times.
And they're a Boston band.
Yeah, they were from Boston. And they just used to pack it in at the QE2, you know. And
you know, there's a long tradition of Boston bands sleeping in the houses of music directors in Albany. Because there's a Boston band called Mission of Burma that slept at our house and ate our Cheerios.
Oh, my goodness.
The house still stinks.
I don't think it was held to Boston bands either.
No, there were bands sleeping in houses
bands
everywhere.
From Athens, too.
I think it's time for a public service.
Yes, now. I agree.
Well, you know what? I bet you guys don't know what's happening tomorrow at 3 p.m.
No. Do tell.
I'm getting to know.
Well, at the Performing Arts Center right here on campus at the Recital Hall, at 3 p.m., it will be the Phantoms of New Music. And faculty member Max Lifshitz, I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, plays the second of four separate piano programs on Sunday afternoon this season.
You're not going to mention the artists, are you?
The program will feature works by Berio, Cage, that's John Cage, Cowell, Crossman.
That's Simon Cowell.
Right. Crossman and Mazurek. I think he was in the Doors.
Yeah.
And that's at the Performing Arts Center at Recital Hall at $7 for adults, $3 for students. That is some pretty esoteric stuff.
And also, stuff Max like Lifshitz needs a floor to sleep on, we were told. So
right.
If you can volunteer your
giant
floor.
They'll also be doing the performing the works of Big Dipper as well. Transcribing that. So we're going to...
Something very important. We need to talk about radio, the history of CDB, freedom, and programming.
Well, first we got to give a shout-out to Andrew, who's running the board here, right?
All
in charge here. And
when can they hear?
What's that?
Show?
He's the current general manager of the station.
When can they hear? Show?
There's a lot of heat and pressure in that room right now. I mean, I think he's doing a fine job with all the heat.
Absolutely,
a couple of outstanding segues, especially considering he's not using turntables. Yeah. It's tough. Russell screwed up two of them already.
When is he on the air, Mr. Quinn?
Andrew's on the air Thursdays from 8 to 10. Are you, Andrew? Is that correct?
That is correct. 8 to 10
every... We can't hear you, but you look really good. So.
Must-hear program.
And Ashley, who's also helping us out, is on the air on Tuesdays from 11 p.m. to 1 a.m. By the way, high-caliber time slots in our day. So I would imagine fine prime
Thursday
time slots.
Thursday 8 to 10
so
is golden.
That was my show.
Very strong. I want to remind people that when they're, you know, in the times when CDB might seem like it's off the air, it's actually John Cage being played. So I just want everyone out there to know.
And the ECM catalog. Ladies and gentlemen, step to the mic. Rob Edelstein.
You might guess that this is a show that's filled with a whole lot of personal meaning, and this is a song that has a whole lot of personal meaning for me and some of the other people in this room. And this is a song about the friendship that continues to bind us together. And here's the jam.
All right. WCDB Albany. These are the numbers that are going to save rock and roll. 518-442-4242. 518-442-4242. If you are alive, call us. Those are the Buzzcocks. And what do I get? I Want to Be With You by the Raspberries. That one's for Felix, the rock and roll tailor, wherever he is tonight. The Bouncing Souls before that, courtesy of Mr. Rieger. True Believers, the name of that song. And the jam from Setting Suns, Thick as Thieves. 90.9 FM.
Send the jam out to Guy Cooperman.
Oh, Guy Cooperman.
Let's send everything out to Guy Cooperman.
Who can articulate the story of Guy Cooperman? Guy Cooperman, we are looking for you tonight.
Coop.
In fact, anyone who has information on Guy Cooperman, 518-442-4242.
I think we can help be Guy's support group because it's been a tough night for Guy tonight. It was going to be a big night. It was a tough night for Russell, but Guy goes to a different place. And we're here to support you guys. So if you're out there, call us and we'll help you through this Yankee night.
I think I can actually speak for all the alums when we say we love you, Guy, and we wish you were here.
We need Cooperman.
Guy, call in.
Call in.
If you don't call in, we're going to start imitating you.
And then we'd have to play Zeppelin.
Have you heard, when's the last time you heard Going to California? And you have $3 till Tuesday.
So what's up next? So up next, Andrew, this is your request. This is something you're going to play? Okay. This is a band called Coheed and Cambria, and we're going to play a song called Three Evils. All right. Did you turn that knob down there? Ouch. Nice feedback.
Where's Steve O'Trooper when we need him?
Little Billy Bragg and Wilco. Rob, you want to...
Yes, Walt Whitman's niece from Mermaid Avenue. That goes out to Bill Rowe, my brother-in-law, who called in to request that and said, you better put that on or I'm locking the deadbolt and you'll have to find another place to sleep tonight. So that's for you, Bill, and please leave the door open.
Right before that, Ashley brought us the Weaker Thans.
Sounded good.
Manifest was the name of the song. A request before that for a fine CDB song from our era, right, Russell?
Yeah, unfortunately.
Martha and the Muffins, Echo Beach.
So
there's a lot of signatures on that record.
That was a good song. If you remember that, the intro was really good.
And we started Mud.
We started out with Coheed and Cambria, a band that Jack and Craig liken very much to a band from the old days called Rush, who are still around. But
the vocal stylings of Geddy Lee.
The song was Three Evils, and Andrew.
I believe that was Neil Peart on drums, isn't that right?
Not on Coheed and Cambria, but yes, in Rush. Absolutely. Jim, do you have a PSA for us?
Actually, I do. It's time for a public service announcement. And, you can hear jazz here at 91 FM. I guess that's 90.9 FM in the digital age. You can hear jazz here every Saturday morning with our own Bill McCann.
Yeah, Bill.
And, he's not only is he tapping the record library here of the radio station, but his own awesome collection. But on that note, we do have a public service announcement, and you can hear an evening of jazz to benefit the Underground Railroad History Project of the Capital Region. That's going to be tomorrow, 4 o'clock up till 8 o'clock at the Club Matrix. That's 942 Broadway here in Albany. For more information, you can call Paul Stewart at 432-4432. That's
432-4432. The public service announcement from your friends here at 90.9 FM.
One quick question. What's the phone number that's going to save rock and roll again, Jeff?
The phone number that's going to save rock and roll as we know it is 518-442-4242. This band saved Josh Rosenthal on more than one occasion. This is American Music Club and Outside the Spar, WCDB Albany, 90.9 FM.
All right, are we... turn that knob down there. Ouch. Nice feedback.
We're Steve O'Truba when we need him.
Little Billy Bragg and Wilco. Rob, you want to...
Yes, Walt Whitman's niece from Mermaid Avenue. That goes out to Bill Rowe, my brother-in-law, who called in to request that and said, you better put that on or I'm locking the deadbolt and you'll have to find another place to sleep tonight. So that's for you, Bill, and please leave the door open.
Right before that, Ashley brought us the Weaker Thans.
The Weaker Thans.
Yep.
Sounded good.
Sounded good. Manifest was the name of the song. A request before that for a fine CDB song from our era, right, Russell?
Yeah, unfortunately.
Martha and the Muffins, Echo Beach.
So
there's a lot of signatures on that record.
That was a good song, if you remember that. The intro was really good.
And we started, Mud?
We started out with Coheed and Cambria, a band that Jack and Craig liken very much to a band from the old days called Rush, who are still around. But
the vocal stylings of Geddy Lee.
The song was Three Evils, and Andrew.
I believe that was Neil Peart on drums, isn't that right?
Not on Coheed and Cambria, but yes, okay. In Rush, absolutely. Jim, do you have a PSA for us?
Actually, I do. It's time for a public service announcement, and you know, you can hear jazz here at 91 FM. I guess that's 90.9 FM in the digital age. You can hear jazz here every Saturday morning with our own Bill McCann.
Yeah, Bill.
And you know, he's not only is he tapping the record library here of the radio station, but his own awesome collection. But on that note, we do have a public service announcement, and you can hear an evening of jazz to benefit the Underground Railroad History Project of the Capital Region. That's going to be tomorrow, 4 o'clock up till 8 o'clock at the Club Matrix. That's 942 Broadway here in Albany. For more information, you can call Paul Stewart at 432-4432. That's 432-4432. The public service announcement from your friends here at 90.9 FM.
One quick question. What's the phone number that's going to save rock and roll again, Jeff?
The phone number that's going to save rock and roll as we know it is 518-442-4242. This band saved Josh Rosenthal on more than one occasion. This is American Music Club and Outside the Spar, WCDB Albany, 90.9 FM. All right.
Whoa.
Feedback City.
Sorry,
WCDB. All right. WCDB Albany, 90.9 FM. Kings of Leon. That was Kings of Leon and Molly's Chambers. Before that, a record that sounded so good after all these years, Devo and Uncontrollable Urge. Rob, name of the album?
Question. Are we not men? Answer. We are Devo.
Produced by Brian Eno.
Absolutely.
A masterpiece.
Complete.
Of new wave punk rock.
With
something.
To me, the 12 best words in rock and roll. Yeah.
There you go. Rob Edelstein. We are right. We heard some hot heat in there. Nick Cave, Stagger Lee, and we started that set with American Music Club, Request from the Class of 89,
yeah.
And Outside the Spar, a very Westerbergian number, I would say. You know, none of those bands, that I can remember seeing none of those bands. Well, I was here at WCDB.
What?
But did you guys see American Music Club here? You may have booked them.
Yeah, they probably played up here. I don't remember.
You don't remember much.
You remember that?
Because he was outside this bar.
I saw them a lot of times.
Up here. I saw them down.
Yeah.
All right, so you know what we're going to do? We're going to go around the circle. Go around the circle. Best show, your favorite show memory at WCDB, the CDB years. Russ?
I want to start with me first. I think about that.
All right, Russ passes to Rob.
I've got two great memories of the Police when they first came and they were at the Hullabaloo, and there were about a dozen people in the audience because no one really knew who they were, and they were even joking about it. And they were just completely amazing. And then Sam and Dave Ware.
Hullabaloo.
At the Hullabaloo. We had heard beforehand that Sam and Dave hadn't spoken to each other for years, and I actually went backstage and saw them. They were sort of prowling around each other like cats, and they would not speak. But when they got on stage, it was just completely ridiculously amazing.
And I got one, but I remember where it was.
Okay.
First time Elvis Costello came to America, he played Albany, and he played in a really small, I thought he played on campus, but he played in a really small, not a theater.
Elvis?
Elvis Costello, because what happened was is we all went, and we were in one of those rows, like, you know, eighth row, and then we all stood up, and everybody was sitting down, and he played the entire, it was one of those things where everyone's watching you, wanting you to sit down, and he played the entire song staring to us, and that night, they got into a fight with his road managers of threw chairs with some of the audience members because they started cursing each other out, and there was a fight that broke up the show. So that was an amazing experience for me.
That's an amazing experience. Yeah.
That's an amazing experience for the show.
We didn't know what was going on.
If even half of that is true,
it is.
It's an amazing totally rock and roll story.
All right. The first time Elvis Costello came here, call up.
Oh, yeah, wait. Again, the numbers that are going to save rock and roll, as you know, at 518-442-4242. Craig, best show. Memory.
I'll cite two. B-52s on their first album with the late Ricky Wilson on guitar. Four-string guitar at J.B. Scott's late club on Central Avenue. And they're the weirdest people I'd ever seen, and I was in love with them deeply. And the special.
Irrespective of gender.
The special is where Jerry Dammers pulled down part of the ceiling of J.B. Scott's and had to be rushed to the hospital with 20-odd stitches in his arm. And, you know, it doesn't get any better than that.
The special show where they destroyed J.B. Scott's is one of all-time greats.
That just reminds me, in that same vein, the first time that U2 came to Albany,
that's right,
J.B. Scott's. And the ceiling was just so small, and Bono, who loves to bop, just kept hitting his head on the ceiling, and then backstage you saying, I just kept hitting my head on the ceiling.
All right, so I've got...
Sound like Scottish. Two,
I know.
I've got a couple of comments and my two picks. That U2 show, I'll never forget Ed Pinka. We wish he was here tonight. Ex-promotions director of WCDB 82. Standing in the back of J.B. Scott's, watching the U2 show, going, I don't like him. He's too friendly. That was his review. That was his review on YouTube. My favorite two shows, besides the specials, REM booked by WCDB at the Chateau Lounge. When all day we were hanging out with Peter Buck and Michael Stipe and Bill Berry, and we knew who was who sort of, but not really. And there was this very shy, very young-looking, quiet guy who we thought was one of their roadies, who slept most of the day, sort of in the little backstage area of the Chateau Lounge. Show starts, same overcoat that he was kind of sleeping in. He walks on stage. It's Michael Stipe, lead singer, and he was just insane, diving on the microphone on the second song and going nuts. And then the show that I couldn't get anybody to go see with me was Bob Dylan down at the Capitol Theater. Bob Dylan on the Save Tour played to, at best...
Save or the Slow Train Coming Tour?
Capitol.
No, it was before Save came out. Palace Theater. He played to about a half full house, and it was just, you know, all Christian songs, absolutely brilliant, and, you know, the place was half empty.
Jack, that was about four favorite shows.
I said I was going to, you know, regroup. All right, so, Dear Mitt, sorry.
Can we defend Ed for a second? Because at that time, it was about Johnny Thunders and Sid Vicious. So if you really think about that for a second, you wouldn't really... get you to at that point, because that's what he was all about. I just wanted to defend Ed, because he wasn't here.
That's true. Dear man. The most interesting show I probably saw was at Union College Chapel, when I went to see Joe Jackson on his first ever show, and the opening act was supposed to be the Records, and they didn't show up. And so Joe came out, unbeknownst to everybody in the crowd, with a hat pulled down his coat, and he starts playing, like, Life's a Bowl of Cherries and You're the Pits and all these, like, weird bar songs. And about halfway through the set, people actually figured out it was Joe Jackson.
That was in your... was that in your town?
People
years?
Actually thought it was...
Was that in your pre...
No, that was here.
Okay.
Look Sharp came out in 78.
Yeah, we were here.
78?
We were here.
When did Look Sharp come out, Jim? 78?
Later.
79?
It was
80. Yeah, 80. No, it was Union College Chapel. First Joe Jackson American tour. It was Look Sharp, and it was just killed. I mean, the show was incredible. It was in this old chapel at Union, which was a great place for shows when they did them. I don't think they do them anymore, but it was great.
Jim, best show? Best show memory?
Zappa.
Way back, the Wayback Machine.
Where?
Is there RPI?
Palace. Wow. Frank Zappa.
Watermelon and Easter.
Oh, another show memory.
Yeah, Talking Heads Remain in Light was a good one. Patty?
That's okay.
Minor and is a popular, but they're the ones that affected me the most throughout later on. But Steve Forbert at Page Hall.
Oh, yeah. Great show.
That was a good show.
Joe Ely at J.B. Scott.
Oh, legend.
Yeah.
Willie Nile at May... Mayfest.
Mayfest, yeah.
Million Island was
you too at Mayfest.
And if Graham Parker...
He was on stage with Bruce Springsteen.
Where was Graham?
I don't remember where Graham Parker was. I don't remember seeing Graham Parker.
Graham Parker, he didn't play up here.
No, he did. He played at...
Squeezing Out
Sprite. We're going to have someone call 518-442-4242. Tell us where Graham Parker played. Dave, favorite show memory?
And the Talking Heads show, the P-Furs open.
Psychedelic Furs opening for the Talking Heads, Remaining Light. Dave?
In Albany, not quite as cutting edge as my colleagues, but the best show that I saw was Santana at the Palace. The communication level between the musicians and the audience was intense.
That's a great place to see a show.
Yeah.
Josh?
Unforgettable show at the Palace Theater with Roy Orbison, circa 1988-89. I'll never forget him singing Crying. Just never forget it. This is
Roy Orbison.
And then NRBQ and Cheap Trick playing Mayfest. That was pretty cool.
That was pretty cool.
Sean?
Black Flag downstairs in the campus ballroom. 1986. People were tearing each other apart.
Wow.
On that same line, one more. Flipper at the Chateau.
I remember that.
Where they played until the last person left. That was their deal. They would play until everyone left. Until there was no one remaining at the club.
All right. So, what? Two more. Let's get two more, and then we'll keep it going.
I forgot all this time Palace Theater because we ended up, we thought it was sold out. We went to the wrong place, and then we ended up getting first row all the way to the right. And it was Bruce Springsteen. After the lawsuit,
Darkness show?
It was member.
The Darkness show.
Yeah, after the lawsuit, when he came back the first time touring again, when he was first allowed to, and that was probably a brilliant show. And I don't remember all this time that we actually saw that until right now. Yeah.
Amazing. Well, we probably gave away tickets to 90% of these shows that we talked.
Can't tell you who's coming in, Jack, but I got some tickets for you.
So let me get this straight. You guys saw Bruce, the Police, you two, and I saw Big Dipper.
Yeah, the first time the Jam came through.
JB Scott. Amazing Clash.
We saw the Capitol Theater.
Yeah, let's get back to the records.
All right, so, first of all, WCDB Albany is the radio station you're listening to. It's Alumni Weekend here. We thank you so much for listening. We thank Andrew and Ashley and Bill McCann for letting us on the air. It is Graham Parker and the Rumor Hold Back the Night, 90.9 FM WCDB. WCDB Albany, 90.9 FM, 2468 Motorway, the Tom Robinson Band. What was the name of that album? Power in the Darkness?
That might have been it. I don't remember.
Power in the Darkness. I think it was
had a Big Black Fist.
Big Black Fist, Power in the Darkness. We heard Start Now from Rancid. Then from the classic album, Rob, you say it better than anybody.
Searching for the Young Soul Rebels.
Searching for the Young Soul Rebels. And 7 Days Too Long from Dexy's Midnight Runners. And we started with Graham Parker and The Rumor and Hold Back the Night. You're listening to 90.9 FM, WCDB, Albany. The numbers that are saving rock and roll tonight, 518-442-4242, if you have a request. If they're online, you can IM us at WCDBFiller, WCDBFiller, F-I-L-L-E-R.
And who are we?
We're just a bunch of old alumni playing a bunch of old records on vinyl. So we talked about the best bands that were our favorite shows that we saw. How about your just, it doesn't have to be music. It could be a radio station moment. It could be different, something totally different, but sort of like your favorite Albany moment. Was there one moment that you had an epiphany, you know, that you can put your finger on? I know that's a broad question, but Rob, you look like you can.
Yeah, we were talking about Felix Ivoroni before, who was affectionately called the Rock and Roll Tailor because his family owned a cleaning and tailoring business downtown in
Albany.
And
still does.
And still does. And Felix is just great and just also sold records and did the oldie show here on the station. And I was a real big blues music fan, but, you know, didn't really, hadn't made the leap yet. And I walked in there and I literally said, Felix, sell me a blues album. And Felix looked around and he said, I think this one might be good for you. And he sold me Buddy Guy and Junior Wells Play the Blues.
Wow.
And I brought that record home and I put it on Russell's turntable. And we just sat there and listened to Messin' with the Kid,
listen to Junior Wells sing Messing with the Kid. And what did I do? I literally started screaming at the top of my lungs. I was just shouting because it was just so incredibly terrific.
Like, this is the greatest record I've ever heard.
That was, like, the single moment that changed my entire life.
That's a great one. Jim, any thoughts?
You stumped me.
All right, we'll keep it going, but we're coming back to you. Craig Marks?
Well...
Leaker of records? No, I'm kidding.
Now, there's just a lot of disparate memories. The campus inspires no memories, I think, I think I can speak for all of us by saying, when we see this campus, we feel nothing. But when we see each other and we see the radio station, we feel a great deal. A funny feeling in our groin. I remember doing lots and lots of poppers at a gay disco here in Albany, the 8-Ball, that some CDBers would take over and would dance with each other and our girlfriends, if you want me to put that disclaimer in there. I remember driving down, actually, with there's a drug connection here. On tons of
all right, thanks very much, Craig.
On tons of black beauties with Ed Pinka, who's not here, in his Maverick, if I'm not mistaken, to see the Clash in New York City on what was their first American tour.
I think it's important to point out the substances that were possibly taken by some of the people here do not reflect any endorsement of WCDB Albany.
That's right.
But
now I'm only on prescription drugs, and it's much more
like many of our favorite rock stars. I'll pass and come back. Dearmid, any epiphany moments?
You're much more pleasant to be around. Yeah,
a favorite moment? Just a favorite
anything
moment?
Yeah.
A favorite moment would be driving back from the Rock Night at Rafters, which was a big event that the station put on. And it was the pinnacle of our year where we gave away tickets to this huge event. And the only place to get them was here. So for a month, we had this huge listenership that we didn't normally have.
Turned the disco into a rock club.
This would have been 81, 82, right? And closing down the club after a great Rock Night at Rafters, probably the second one, and driving down the Northway at 4 o'clock in the morning where there was a snowstorm. And there had been a snowstorm while we were in the club, and there was 3 feet of snow on the ground. And driving along and seeing a vehicle on the side of the road buried to its windows in the snow and pulling over to help. And walking back and realizing it was our fine promotions director in the car with two friends of his buried and just sitting there staring into space.
You know what? I remember that moment well because we were in a caravan. Josh, anything come to mind?
Sure. Craig said something about groin, and that's really weird because you're like reading my mind because the moment that I knew that I had to get involved in something like the radio station, I used to play a very dangerous game with my roommate, who at the time at Indian Quad was Thelonious Monk's grandnephew, and he and I were close and we were roommates, and we felt very alienated, like from all the other people in our suite, just because they were all business majors and they would torture us about, how we weren't never going to be anything in life because, we were like English majors and we liked music and we were really weird and we didn't study like them and they tortured us. And then I saw one of the guys like, in Penn Station, a year after I graduated, and he was like a clerk somewhere like at a department store. And that's what he did with his degree. But anyway, not like there's anything wrong with being a clerk at a department store, but, So the point of the story is, you okay? You're awake? Okay.
Dave's okay.
Okay. We used to play a very dangerous game, which was a baseball game in the hallway at Indian Quad, which if you've been in there, it's like it's very small, slender area, like maybe 6 feet across or 20 feet this way or whatever. And it was with an actual baseball bat, full-size bat, and a tennis ball. We went a little soft on the ball, we wanted to have an actual baseball. But we took full swings, and we had all these rules about which way the ball would bounce around. And, I took a shot to the groin one day, and I realized, my life is just going nowhere. I'm not studying. I'm just playing this
really dangerous baseball game in this hallway, and I've got to do something with myself in this school. And that's when I kind of realized that I had to move on. And
speaking about baseball, Russ, do you remember the time when we challenged the local commercial radio station WQBK to a softball game?
No.
Did we actually play it?
Yeah, they beat us.
Again, they beat us again.
No, that was one of the few things they ever really beat us.
That was the only thing they ever beat us.
All right. A lot of great memories. You're listening to 90.9 FM. Who'd we miss?
Did you? I didn't.
An epiphany?
Passed
on that. So many good moments. Too many.
I think being here, it's not tonight, but I think... no, I didn't mean that. I think that... Being at CDB and being able to do a radio show was pretty much a singular moment for me every time I did it. So
yeah. That was pretty love much that. I have a bunch of them. You know, a lot of them are related to things that were discovered here. I remember listening to Murmur, you know, when it first came in, 20 times in a row it felt like Murmur from R.E.M. and just being amazed that, you know, this music existed. I felt like I hadn't heard anything like it, you know, ever before at that point. And, you know, with Craig, I remember somehow it was related to our friendship into the radio station. You know, if we were having friends over for dinner and we were playing Frank Sinatra, you know, but somehow it was all related to our love of music and all the camaraderie and the fact that we would all be jumping up and down on a table to Elvis Costello and the Attractions, and then the next night, you know, be making a big group dinner with spaghetti and playing, you know, Songs for Swinging Lovers by Frank Sinatra. So somehow it was always musical, and there were always all these people around. I know Patty just walked in, and she has one great memory before we break.
Norman Keith just called in, and he wanted to remind us of any moment at Frank's living room.
Of course.
Oh. Frank's, the mixtapes that were made for Frank's living room. Songs to what by?
Drink vodka and tonics to.
Yeah. I don't know. But
Walking
a lot of good
rocks at 25 cents a bottle.
Oh, yeah. God. What a great, dangerous place that was.
Does Frank's still exist?
No. What about the space, though?
I drank for free by making tapes for the Long Branch. That was my ticket to a beer here or there.
Yeah.
I still finally remember Sutter's and that cheddar cheese burger.
Right.
Sorry.
All right.
Made me hungry.
You know, I saw Mike Eck tonight.
Did you?
Yeah.
What's up with Mike?
Mike's, you know, he lives around here. He's got, you know,
writer,
kids and everything.
Writer,
and
producer.
He's a writer. Yeah, Mike Eck, and I saw Jim Furlong today.
Really?
Who owns? Now, Jim
owns
a record store.
A great record store called Last Vestige.
This is anybody, I know you can search it on the web. It's lastvestige.com. Tons of vinyl, rare stuff.
I went nuts there.
He fronted a band called the ADs from our era, 79, well, I guess a little later, 80, 81, 82. Great band. For those of you who are confused, you're listening to 90.9 FM, WCDB Albany.
The Alta Cocker Hour.
Yes. Phone number 518-442-4242. You have a request, give us a call. In the meantime, back to the music. Per Ubu, WCDB.
WCDB 90.9, am I right?
90.9
FM. That was another request that we had from, I guess you'd say, a seminal band from, tonight that we've been reminiscing. So back in the 80s, that was R.E.M. And I will tell you, if I could look at it, because we changed songs three times, that was called Shaking Through, back with Murmur. I got it. I'll probably end up talking louder and louder. I grabbed the microphone here from the master of ceremonies tonight, Jack, who's probably in the car right now, and there was a topic that was coming up before when we were talking and having the privilege of doing this, I guess maybe one more time, of special moments. Many of the songs that we played tonight were meaningful to a few of us that we heard over the time. But there was one special moment that I didn't bring up that dealt with a lot of friendships. And I had graduated from this college and back in 81. And Jack was following me, and he was still in college. And I remember when he came out, and I was at that point I was managing rock alternative rock bands, And I got this call from Jack, who was mostly very eloquent tonight centering everyone that we were talking about. But there was a moment that changed my life when Jack had called me up about a band, and I was very young, and he was yelling to me on the phone about a band called The Replacements, because I said, Jack, there's this band called The Replacements, and a lawyer called me up, and he was thinking about me managing them, and what do you think? And for the next 20 minutes, I don't know if he took a breath, but for the next 20 minutes, his voice very raised, telling me what an idiot I was, and did I look at the Village Voice and the greatest rock and roll band that ever existed at the time. And I eventually got the phone to my ear and listened mostly to him. And after that, I went out and got a record that was called Let It Be. Well, after I heard that, it pretty much changed my life, because I ended up managing them. That set me on a course that was very special. And it all came from one of my dearest friends, but it all came from a radio station that the reason why we're here is because it was one of the most important parts of our life. And what's great about it is that it reverberates 20, 25 years later for each of us. And just to have the privilege to be able to sit here and do this with everyone tonight and get to see everyone who many of us have stayed in touch and meant so much to each other is great. So selfishly, I guess, was it CD1? Selfishly, I wanted to... CD3? Sorry. Selfishly, I wanted to... I keep saying that word, huh? You could do that. I wanted to play this song for Jack, and I hope you're still in the car listening, but I never forgot this, man. That was Beth Orton on Central Reservation. God, you know, it's been so many years, and it's still... I still feel like I'm 19 when I do this, because I could hear my voice, and I could also feel how uncomfortable it is to do this at a certain point. But what I wanted to do, and usually at that age, I was only playing The Clash and Sex Pistols over and over and over again, and it wasn't really anything this soft. But tonight made me, oh God, I can't even find the words right now. But tonight maybe not in a somber mood, but there's other ways of bringing out passion. And from Westerberg doing Unsatisfied, which was basically a very raw recording, to Beth Orton doing, I mean, when I was with her and she did this in type of a shed on a dat, and it was basically one take in a shed on a dat, and that is the most stirring song that she's ever done, at least in my opinion, and I guess I had no problem telling her that. But and it was a one take thing, and it just shows you what these artists can do when they're so moved. And what's great that keeps coming back to me tonight when everyone was talking, reminiscing, was the feeling that we were able to sit behind this mic and play these songs that were filled with either such rage or spirituality or passion that we were able to come here and say, listen, you should check this out and hear it. And with that said, there's a guy that not many people know from England, and I'm just playing it because I like him, and I was with him the other week, and he really deserves to have more attention. And this isn't his new record, because you probably couldn't get it because it's not released here. But a couple of years ago, there was a guy, an Arista, put out a record by a guy named Tom McRae. And if you have a moment and you're still awake and you're sitting around, it would be great if you listen to this song and listen to the lyrics. This is called The End of the World, Dose Me Up by Tom McRae, which hopefully, if I do it right, should play right now. That's Tom McRae. That's just a great song, and he's a great artist. So he was in L.A. A year or so ago and playing the El Rey. And you see Tom McRae? You guys see Tom McRae? No, I'm out of here. I'm going to play one more song, so I'm just grab the mic one more time, because this is what old people do. Everything went wrong. The guy couldn't the sound. He had a cello player and a keyboard player, and he couldn't get arrested. Every time he came to the mic, it was exploding and sparks were flying in his mouth. And usually when that happens, everything falls apart. But he had enough wit and enough gumption to just gather the crowd around him And moved to the lip of the stage, and without any mic or anything, just grabbed an acoustic guitar and played. It was a very magical moment. He's a very talented guy. Thanks for the privilege of having me do this. I'm going to leave this to some other people coming in with more capable hands, but I couldn't do that without one last dedication to for me, to someone who the artist is probably the most important and who's no longer around. This is to Joe Strummer, and this is his last record, and this is a cover of Bob Marley, Redemption Song. Thanks for the privilege.
Hey, Capital District, it's Dan Phillips here from 1985 is when I was here working at the WCDB. Back then we called it 91 FM. Now you guys are into the digital age, so it's 90.9. And it's great to be back here. It's a real blast getting together with all my old friends from years gone by. I don't know who out there is still up and listening. It's now, well, it's now 2:15 because at 2 o'clock officially you put the clocks back, so the changeover. 3:15 for those of you who have been up all night, and for those of you waking up, it's 2 o'clock. So 2:15. Anyway, we were just listening to the Talking Heads, "Once in a Lifetime," which was highly influential at that time, back in the early 80s. Talking Heads, of course, led a lot of stuff out of the 70s and into the 80s, and that was one of the top played albums of my day. And want me to boost the gain? Okay. I'm getting cues from the...
You watch your needles.
Keep an eye on it. Boy, this board is not as sensitive as the old ones were. Anyhow, I've got a variety of things that I want to talk about. I have some albums that I've pulled out, old vinyl, that I'm going to play for you guys. The one I'm going to play now is from a band called OOK, which actually came up here. They're from Athens, Georgia. They're part of the Mitch Easter group of bands that came out of Athens, which is where REM came from. Mitch Easter's band was Let's Active. That was a very popular thing to play. And OOK was one of the bands he was promoting. They came up here to play in Albany, and they actually came up to the studios right here for an interview program. Great, great bunch of guys, and I'm going to play that for you in a moment. But first, if you guys remind me how to get that thing going, just click on it. Okay. Computers. Oh, boy. What's the world coming to? We're back on the air again. So we are reminiscing a bit about the bands that came up here to the studios back in the 80s. This one is OOK, and the song is called Guru. And that was OOK, a band out of Athens, Georgia from back in the early 80s. And as we're reminiscing about groups that came here and spoke to us in the studios, they spent a fair amount of time here chatting with us, and I've got another group coming up in a moment. I was, in my day, quite active in the studios. I spent 4 years from the first day I came here as a freshman right up until the very last minute. I was here. Starting out in the news department, then working my way up through the jazz department, and then eventually into rock, and basically a jack of all trades. I even participated in the production department. I loved making various promos and carts.
So I guess you want a job back?
and we even had a shortage of engineers 1 year, and I was good friends with the chief engineer, so I pitched in as the assistant chief engineer for one semester. So I really did a little of everything here. It was quite an amazing time. So
did you ever go to school?
No. No, that's one of the things that you didn't get to do. It was worthwhile, though, a very worthwhile experience. I mean, just the as the head of the news department, we had about 30 students working in the news department with various news slots and so on, you know, 30 people who had slots, maybe about 5 or 10 who were very active in the department. That's how it usually works. But just that experience of working with a volunteer staff, I'm sure you can appreciate that, to motivate people to do stuff and come in at times that they'd rather be doing something else. And it's an experience that's really helpful once you get out of college, to be able to go to some employer and say, yes, I've organized a group of people. I've organized people who were not getting paid to do the work and was able to get them to come in and get it done. That's impressive. So the degree, you know, the degree is important when you're here and the grade point average, but not everyone can be cum laude and all of that. So for the rest of us who are just kind of skating by, doing the work at some place like this radio station is really amazing. And one of the most amazing things, I mean, here we are in a little room. There are four of us just talking back and forth, and there are people out there listening. Right, people? You're out there listening?
442-4242 if you want to give us a call.
Yeah, let us know. There's plenty of time for requests as this evening wears on. And it was just so amazing that you'd come in here, sitting in this room, looking at a glass wall, basically, playing music that you like in an open format, which you don't get it in the real world.
No,
and you put out a call to people to give away something or to ask for requests, and the phone rings. And it keeps ringing. And it's pretty amazing. It's the power of radio. And the best part of it is they don't have to look at your face. So here is some more music. Here's some more music from a band called the Drongos. This band was from New Zealand, and they decided to make a go. I mean, they were very popular in New Zealand. I actually had the chance to travel to New Zealand several years later, and I asked them about it, and they said, oh, yeah, the Drongos, they were pretty popular here for a little while. They never quite reached that level here in the States, but they made a go of it, came to New York City. They were able to record some stuff out on the streets of New York. Believe it or not, working on a street corner, they recorded an album. This was actually the first album that they put out. Let's see which album label it is. Proteus Records, which was a very small label, and they took a chance with this group, promoted them, brought them around to the various college towns, and Albany was a popular spot for them to come to. They came here three or four times in the couple of years they were in the New York area. And this album came out in, it doesn't say here, but I think it was 83, maybe 84. And the music was great. I was surprised they didn't get anywhere, but not all bands that are good make it unless they have the right connections. But here's a song called Don't Touch Me, which was one of my favorites that I played quite often in my day. And we're back with you here at WCDB 90.9 FM. WCDB Albany, we called it the Capital District's Best, known as Capital District Broadcasting. And yeah, it is true, it's the Capital District's Best. If you want unusual, new, anything that the other stations don't play or won't play or can't play because it's not allowed in their programming requirements, then this is the place to tune and listen. This is Dan Phillips with you, which was actually my rock name. I went by another name, my real name, when I was doing news and jazz and so on. But since I'm doing rock, I'm going under Dan Phillips tonight. We just heard from the Drongos, Don't Touch Me. I was just talking about how they were up here in the studios. We did a great interview show with them. We did a great... I'm getting some help here. We did a great interview with them. They were in the studio right through the window on the other side there, chatting with us, and they were, shall we say, not 100% with us. They were physically with us, but mentally they may have been somewhere else because of some illicit paraphernalia that they used prior to coming into the studio. And they were an interesting bunch, and they were a lot of fun. And as I say, they played in Albany quite a bit, trying to make a mark here in the States. And it's almost impossible to get this album anywhere. I was very happy to find it still in the library. I mean, Proteus Records, it doesn't even exist anymore. Yeah, there's plenty of that stuff here. It's amazing all the independent labels that would send stuff to the station and trying to get us to get a little airplay going. And quite often, you know, someone here at the station would review the albums and make little notes, and we'd kind of say, oh, okay, we'll give that a try. All the DJs that were on would listen to other DJs and say, oh, what was that thing you played over there? And we'd play a little more, and then we'd start getting requests for it. And the independent labels would give us a call and say, how's this album doing? How's that album doing? And bands grew and became popular from college radio. I mean, REM is the prototype, yeah, really, of that kind of garage band that college radio really turned into superstars. And you never know who that next band is going to be. And here's another band that's not quite in the classification of really superstar, but they made a mark, and they're pretty widely known at this point. That band being the Violent Femmes, and they played here in Albany also. We had them up in the studios for an interview as well.
Did they rock out or just interview?
I think just two of them came up to the studio for an interview. They played downtown. I don't even remember what club it was at this point. They were quite funny. And here is actually from the album that came out the year that they came up here. I really like their first self-titled album, even better than this one. But this one was the one that came out the year that they came to play up in Albany. And the cut I'm going to play for you is Country Death Song. Violent Femmes, playing here on WCDB 90.9 FM, reminiscing about the music of the early 80s and the bands that played in Albany at that time. There's lots of memories come flooding back as I was just chatting with the people here about the dance marathons that took place here in the student center. We used to, the DJs from the radio station would go down and in shifts, DJ for the dance marathon. And it was a real blast to be able to do that and keep people moving. I mean, to have them right there was a lot of fun. A lot of the DJs from the station ended up doing mixing and things at the local dance clubs. They would hire the people from WCDB in the local clubs to go out and mix. And that was a lot of fun as well. I remember back in the early 80s was when rap was just beginning, and the idea of scratching to make a sound that integrated with the music was a very novel concept at that time, and it was a lot of fun experimenting with that kind of thing. I'm trying to think what else I can share with you that you might find interesting, especially at this hour. But I'm beginning to fade myself after a full day of getting together with people and talking about things. One thing that comes to mind, towards the end of my stint here, as I was in my last year, as I told you before, I went under a couple of names. I had my real name that I used for news and jazz programs, and then I have my alter ego, Dan Phillips, for the rock programs. And the listeners didn't know necessarily, although many of them guessed that was the case. And I had occasional people call in and say, aren't you the guy who also does the news? And so I decided one day to script out a little something where I would script out my news broadcast a little ahead of time. And I recorded it with pauses built in, with a script for me to read against myself, so that I would actually be speaking over myself. And I was, so that I was both people at the same time, and I confused the heck out of everyone who thought that I was one person. They thought, well, is this one person or two people? I don't get it. So that was a lot of fun, playing tricks on my listeners. And of course, the groupies that were out there, the people who focused in on a DJ, and you have a loyal listenership out there. And I had someone from the local community, a high school student who fixated on my program, and I could count on getting calls from her anytime I had the late shift. She was out there listening, and she would always call in with a request, and it was always interesting to know that radio reaches people, and that they want to communicate with you and take an interest in what you're doing. So before I go, I'm going to once again play a song from the Drongos, that New Zealand band. This was from the flip side of the album. It's called Eye of the Hurricane, and I hope you enjoy it, because you're not going to hear this album anywhere else.
Ever.
Ever. And here it is. Good night, Albany.
And what's going on out there, Albany? You're listening to DJ Andrew right here on 90.9 FM, WCDB. I just wanted to let you all know we're wrapping up our very, very special night. We had many of our alums coming back on the air and rocking out with us for the past couple hours. So thank you for tuning in to all our listeners. Much love. You know where to find us on the dial, 90.9 FM. We'll see you soon.